Hi, this is Cal Harrison with ISMG. Today, we're discussing the Agentic AI SOC with two cybersecurity experts, Ben Spencer at Optiv and Wayne Kearns at Google. The AI-run Security Operations Center is here, and Ben and Wayne have been focused on developing an Agentic MSSP operations framework to help deploy it. Ben, Wayne, welcome.
It's great to see you. Wayne, good to talk with you. Very excited to jump on and have a conversation about a topic that I'm pretty passionate about.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys making the time because this is definitely a hot topic. And it's really kind of one of those amazing things in AI where 6 months ago, it wasn't even really a topic, right? But right now, it's a whole new category. And that really kind of, you know, leads into the first question is, you know, before we really get into the details of the AI SOC, Ben, why don't you lead us off? How would you define the agentic SOC?
Happy to do so, Cal. So I've got a couple of opinions about how would you define an AI SOC, and Wayne, I'm really interested to hear yours. But the way that I'm seeing it, and I think the biggest differentiator between an AI SOC and a non-AI SOC is actually operationalizing and using AI in some format as part of your detection response process. Not as a, hey, we're going to go in here and pivot over to it, but actually built in directly into the process and using the output as in place of or as part of the detection response process instead of using it as a double check or verification setup. But Wayne, I'd be curious to hear Google and your opinion on that place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a really wide and broad set of definitions that you could use, but I think you're really close to where we are, if not exactly the same. It's not just a matter of is AI involved in your SOC operations, but is AI pivotal to every stage of your SOC operation? Does it help and assist your operators do their tasks as data traverses the pipeline from log ingest to remediation? Is AI there to help them and accelerate them in that process?
Yeah, those are all very good points. And so, Wayne, you know, of course, we've heard a lot about some of the capabilities for AI and cyber defense, you know, all the way from vulnerability management, you know, to operations. So what do you see as the benefits of incorporating AI into these operational processes?
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate that I've worked at Google for a while now, and we've been building AI into our product for quite a long time. So The first big thing that I saw and that I was super excited about was fast prototyping. And that is when I'm writing a search or doing a threat detection or I'm setting up a threat hunt or I'm looking at a case, I have the AI assistant there to guide me in setting up a framework for my execution, right? So that was early days. Now, what we have the ability to do is have it intersect and work through the process with us and do a lot of that research, deeper analysis, that summary work that you may not want to do, the creation of reports, and error checking yourself, right? So it becomes a collaborative effort between the AI agent and the SOC operator. So, you know, if I'm developing a parser, I'm trying to change the way something comes in, some kind of data comes in, some kind of enrichment happens, or then I want to present a final report or do a remediation. I have somebody to either generate a triaged response or somebody, an agent, to bounce what I want to do off of and see how it changes the outcome.
And I think what I really like what Wayne just said at the end there, where, hey, bounce something off of and see and actually have it as a conversation and bounce ideas off of. I think this is something that people don't really give enough credit to in where we're moving towards. Is there's always this thought process of, oh, we're just going to automate. I'm hearing the same things that you heard when SOAR first became a thing, and it was, hey, SOAR is just going to take everyone's job and it's just going to do all these things automatically. Reality is, the attackers have a say. The attackers are very intelligent people. They're going to use these same tooling to come up with new and different attacks, and the way that they go in and operate and the way that they can hide themselves and obfuscate things. I've been an analyst. I've been an incident responder. Having someone to go in and talk to, or having some sort of AI to go in and double check or to go and point things out that you missed, it's not just a, oh, this is a nice fringe benefit or something. It's genuinely critically important to be able to go in there. And how do I go and respond to something? Because analysts and cybersecurity professionals, they've been asked for years, hey, can you go in here and just know everything at once? And that's never been really realistic. It's a little bit easier now to go in there and say, hey, go and take a look at this alert and tell me the things that I've seen this. Tell me what I'm potentially missing or what should I go and investigate? And it gives you that ability to go in and level up, go deeper, while at the exact same time, you're not having to rely upon asynchronous communication with people who are not aligned, or I'm having to escalate this up to someone else and they're going to have to come in here and we got to do this whole context switch. It's a genuinely powerful improvement to, I think, the process that is not talked about, because everyone's just so focused on how do we reduce spend in the cybersecurity center, as opposed to how do we up level and say, we're going to be able to deal with new and novel attacks in a more effective manner.
100% agreed. I mean, I want to expound on that a little bit more, if you don't mind me taking it from my cap.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
One of the reasons I got involved in kind of security operations and being on the blue side versus being on the red side was always that the job is harder on the blue side. You're expected to know more about more things and execute perfectly every time. If that's not an excellent argument for having an AI assistant to both generate inputs to you and to review your outputs and help you refine that and make it even better, I don't know what is.
No, that's a really good point. So I mentioned at the very beginning about the agentic operations framework. I was wondering, how is something, why is something like that needed? How can it help manage security service providers to implement and safely deploy agentic AI in the SOC?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give a hot take here really quick. I think it's critically important, because we're asking up front on this podcast and this conversation to define what an agentic SOC is. That's my exhibit A from an evidence standpoint of it's really important to have some sort of idea when we say we're going to do this, to know what you're actually doing. This is exciting new technology. There's a lot of people in this space who have a lot of ideas. Reality is there's 1,000 different things being done every day, and what is actually effective versus what might not be effective. What should you spend your time on? All of these things are really important at a management level and at a security level to go in here and say, how am I actually going to use this in an effective manner, as opposed to spend my company's budget on tokens, on loops to go in and create 1,000 plus detections when one could have served the place, right? There's a lot of things that you could go wrong in with this. It's a very powerful technology. We don't want to get to the place where we were when SOAR came out, where everyone was said, hey, let's go buy SOAR. Let's go in and automate things. And then you ran into things like, how do we automate X, Y, Z? We don't even have a process for this. Like, you need to have some sort of structure to know in, how do we go and tackle this problem and this program and go in and up-level and mature into something that can actually use an agentic SOC. And then what does that actually look like, and what are the outcomes we're going to get? Because ultimately, all of these things, this is not a 2-month project. It is a years long endeavor. And there are so many things changing day after day, quite frankly, in this place, that you want to have an idea of what are the outcomes we're trying to achieve. And then you can go back and figure out, okay, what's the best way to achieve those outcomes? And I want to jump in on this real quickly, because I think, Wayne points out, hey, what Opta is doing there, and we are. And I think from my standpoint, the way that I view this as one who's in charge of our product, but also be as someone who it is at least was at one point technical. I still try to be, but when you move into a product role, how technical do you get at times? Reality is, though, guys, like you have to have the understanding of what the underlying technology is. And for Optiv, for us, it's not only what would a managed service and security provider provide out of this, what makes my job easier, but also what actually helps the client and the customer out. And a lot of these cases are, for us, it's how do we go faster, which is obviously always something that people go in and ask about. But the other piece of this that I think is, to Wayne's credit, is the maturity level of what can you actually come in here and provide to clients who may not have maybe not only the expertise to implement agentic security into their SOC or have the process workflow, but also just at a pure product level of hooking things up together. We've seen this trend of platformization since honestly 2020, where people are going in and collapsing their security tooling. And the thing that to call out with that is that works great, when it all hooks together and it all you can all feed it in. But I've been an analyst, right? It's really hard to go in between 20 different tools that tell me different things. They all connect together, but they're different things, and I have to collate that into my head. There's a lot of this work that comes in from a maturation standpoint, where it's not just how do I do detection response well, but how do I use detection response as a component of my overall security posture to go in and say, hey, I have some automated pen testing that's happening, and I've got vulnerability scanning, and I've got a strong component of secure code that's coming in place here. How do I go in here and then use all of that raw data that is, and then make some sort of analysis and go in and action on that? And that's where I see a lot of MSSPs who are going to try to build out an agentic SOC. That's where I think they can be of most value. It is not necessarily super difficult to send over an alert to an MCP server or pull something from an MCP server with alerts and go in and say, hey, this is what happened. It's not necessarily super, it's not cutting edge. There's a lot of ways to do that. But what is a cutting edge and what an MSSP provider, I think, provides value both as the experts in the space, but also B, provides value to the customers, is going in and taking that next step and saying, hey, I know that you have all these different security tools. We're not going to do a single pane of glass. I'll never utter that word again. But what we are going to be able to do is we're going to take components of these different pieces of analysis and then pull that in and actually provide not just how do we stop this in its track here, but how do we go in and remediate it now? I compare it to a condensed incident response sort of engagement where you're going in and you're actually going in and saying, hey, this is what happened, and then this is how you prevent it from happening in the future, which is what I've always tried to do as an incident responder. And what I think most good incident response teams try to do was provide that remediation action advice. And then maybe you go in and take that action on behalf of the customer. That's where I see a lot of people getting value out of this technology at, not just the, hey, we're going to go in and make us, we're going to be able to go in and faster and get better summaries.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. And I think everybody recognizes that that's where the industry is headed. So what role, here's the question, I guess, on the back of everyone's mind, what role will human beings play in the agentic MSSP? Ben, you want to take that first?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about it, because I think this is one of those things where there's a lot of fear and trepidation about it. So here's the thing, right? We found lots of ways to be more efficient of work throughout our time in technology and honestly throughout human history. The reality is there's a great saying around this. If you do good work, you're rewarded with more work. And quite frankly, I think that's very much the case. The other piece of this is people look, and I honestly don't know why this is the case, but people look at cybersecurity as an offshoot of IT, where your main enemy is entropy, right? The reality is the attackers have the exact same access to the tooling that we have, if not access to different tooling that will provide different outputs. And they are the ones who honestly set the tone in cybersecurity. We talk a lot about budgets and internal things in the industry, but reality is your enemy is the threat actors who have large amounts of budget and have great tooling, and they're very smart people as well. So I think human beings are critically important to not just implement these sorts of things, but to go in there and provide, hey, what sort of outputs am I actually getting here? Can we audit these things? Can we go in here and actually provide some sort of human reasoning upon this that is being missed? It's working in tandem from an agentic standpoint with the AI and using that sort of tool, as opposed to, hey, your job's just been automated because we can just have agents versus agents, which I think is ultimately probably never going to end up there. Not because the technology couldn't be there, but because human ingenuity and creativity to how do we apply these things is still very valuable in this space.
Totally agree. I mean, I liked how you linked it back to the, if you do good work, you'll get more work, because it's also kind of, it brings me back to like when, you know, the early days of SIEM, when SIEM was going to get rid of a lot of people because, oh, hey, you're going to do all this automated data analysis and you're going to be able to throw those threat detections out. And wow, we could go through and do that and people don't have to search for this. Then we get to SOAR and it's like, oh, we're going to get rid of people and blah, blah, blah. Right. And no, what ends up happening is the people need to know more and be able to do more in the same amount of time. And the AI enables that, or the tool enables that. But it also, what that means is that because our adversaries, like you pointed out, are carrying these same toolkits or extended versions of these toolkits, right? That we have to be able to do more threat hunting, do deeper threat hunting, do deeper analysis of our vulnerability management system and what vulnerabilities exist out there. You know, the risk analysis of cybersecurity does tend to imply that this is a finite problem. It is technically a finite problem, but it's a computationally infeasible finite problem.
Yes.
So that's where AI comes in, and we'll continue to augment humans to do more on both sides of the fence.
Well, the thing that I've found interesting is that I think people have equated the agentic AI SOC as the autonomous SOC, you know, so that you plug it in and yeah, it's going to have a tremendous amount of autonomy. But what both of you are saying is a little different from that, right?
Well, it might, Cal, right? Like, there might be a ton of autonomy there, but that doesn't necessarily get rid of as two-way. Yes. This is not a finite problem that you just solve security, right? In the same way that human beings do not solve any sort of thing where your adversary is another human, right? There is no actual pure solution to this when in reality, there are no rules in place. There is no actual deciding factor of, hey, this is our limits or this is what's there. It's not like a game of chess, right? This is a incredibly complex multidimensional problem. Cybersecurity has always been multidimensional and incredibly complex. So the solution does not come in and, hey, we've just automated all this decision-making and things like that. It's I'll bring it back to the movie War Game, which I'm sure the vast majority of us in the space have seen. It is not you've not tied your systems, and the only way to win is to not play. Reality is the stakes are not necessarily as high as that. But the other point of it is there is so much escalatory pieces. There's so many things that you can do from a creativity standpoint, and your attackers have different things pop up every day. There's new tooling. There's so much actual attack surface there. This is not something that just gets solved because, hey, we've put in this perfect detection methodology. That doesn't solve necessarily anything out there. This is a very complex industry that does not get solved by we have the best automation in place and we no longer have to worry about this.
Yeah, I was actually just about to lead into that, because the whole question about finding skilled staffing and staffing, you know, SOCs has been an issue for a while now. So, you know, but how will it affect jobs? I guess also, will we see new roles grow out of this process?
Wayne, go ahead on this one. I've got thoughts on this, but I want to hear
ahead, Wayne.
Well, to answer the second part of the question first, will there be new roles? Absolutely. Absolutely, there'll be new roles because we have new architectural considerations, right? Just like with SIEM and SOAR, right? We're bringing new functionality. Now you need new kinds of experts to help guide the system into the direction that you want to execute at, right? But how is this, or what new roles will you see? Well, or what will the expectations of workers be? Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, what will happen is, you know, when we were talking about the number of or the amount of autonomy, yeah, sure, you may convert 90% of the tasks, 95% of the tasks to autonomous. That just means that, you know, if you follow like the Pareto principle, the remaining set of tasks are that much more complex and require that much more in-depth thinking. And so it doesn't reduce the overall workload. It increases the efficiency of the little things, so that you can really focus deeply on the very hard things. So you'll have roles that are human in the loop. In some cases, you have roles that are human on the loop as you mature. And then, you know, moving on, like I said, you'll have architects and folks like that that focus on pointing the AI capabilities or narrowing them down into specific specialties, just like we do with humans today.
And I am fully in agreement with Wayne on this there. And I think I want to point back to, hey, we have a hard time finding skilled people for the SOCs. I agree with that. I think that's going to continue to be the case. I think the level to be employed in a security operations center to use security is going to keep rising because of this. This is not something that makes people's jobs. It makes people's jobs easier in the aggregate. Hey, I'm able to do X, Y, and Z tasks, but I don't think in the aggregate sense, it is more complex. How do I interact with these agents? I'm dealing with more sophisticated attackers. I'm dealing with more sophisticated attacks. I have more to worry about. To Wayne's point, as you called in the earlier conversation, it used to be attack surface management and your vulnerability results were not necessarily always tied to what happened from an incident response standpoint. that's probably not going to be the case going forward. And you're probably going to have a lot more things being exploited that actually do affect you because it's just faster and easier to exploit. So your job gets harder in the sense that there's more complexity around what the other person's doing. Certain tasks will become easier and there will be more specializations. But I think we're going to see a increase in hiring for people just because you need to have more expertise and you need to have more capabilities as an analyst or an engineer.
Yes, I would tend to agree. Just kind of wrapping up, many security organizations are looking to deploy AI these days. We know that. A lot of them, from what I hear, they're having trouble getting stuff out of the pilot stage. And how can MSSPs help fast track that type of deployment? Ben, you want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take this one up front there. So I think it really calls back to what do MSSPs actually providing when you talk about agentic SOC work and deploying. And I think it really comes down to expertise and being able to bring pieces into an environment, take a look at your whole processes, say, hey, this is where we can help take the lift off of or solve some of the complexity by using our experts or the processes we've developed across numerous organizations. And then coming in and providing that service as a whole, as opposed to coming in and implementing a couple agents in your workflows. As we just talked about, this is more complex. Things are getting more complex. You're having to do more things. It does not, you don't solve this by saying, hey, we're going to put an agent in XYZ workflow, and then you don't have the people to manage that. You solve this by having expertise come in, training up the group of people, getting them used to working in that environment, and then they are that more mature and they're able to take advantage of this increasing a complexity in your environment, but also able to defend against increasing complexity on the attacker side.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, agreed again. I mean, I'll just expound a little bit on that is, you know, if you're buying services from an MSSP, you already know the value of employing a set of experts to help you groom and continue to allow your organization to focus on what they do versus security, right? But let's say you don't. Let's say you have a SIM, SOAR, threat intel operation and you're running all that yourself. You're familiar with those workflows, but again, looking at a group of experts who know how AI is going to interact with that, getting them to talk to your team, coach your team, take some of that work away from your team to allow them to focus on what's really important to your organization and shift the way that they think so that their thought leadership is leveraged on the greater ecosystem to give them a more resilient and performant outcome in their security operations overall. That's what an MSSP does, and that's what we lean on our great partners like Opta to do.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, thank you. This has been really insightful. Like I said from the start, it's a great topic. And I think we're all kind of looking forward to seeing what the future of the SOC is going to look like. So for ISMG, I'm Cal Harrison. Thank you for your time and attention.